You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. If your office is anything like our office, someone is probably sneezing, spreading that cold that's going around. And it seems like when one person at work gets sick, it's only a matter of time before everyone does. One potential reason why is the actual office. Most of the buildings we work in are completely sealed off from the outside world. That helps save on heating and cooling costs, but it can also mean that tiny little microorganisms are just endlessly circulating around you. To discuss the office microbiome, we've got Zoe Schlanger, science contributor at Wired, who wrote about this. I asked her if we were basically sitting in a giant bowl of germs.
Absolutely. The second you walk into your office or literally any room, you're just bathed in microbes that aren't yours continuously.
Can you tell me what a microbiome is? Because that's something that I feel like it's tossed around a lot. I don't exactly know what it means.
Yeah, this past year has been, we've heard so much hype about the human microbiome, which is all of the tiny little single-celled creatures that live in your gut, in your genitals, in your mouth, all over your skin. And it turns out they play a huge role in our health, and we're still trying to figure out what it is. It's basically an alien planet right now to scientists. We're only understanding small aspects of how it affects your immune system and which microbes are good and which are bad. But the microbiome, it turns out, extends way beyond your body. We walk around in a cloud of microbes every day, and they're in your building, too. Every surface you touch, every cubic foot of air you breathe in, it's full of these germs.
How is your office microbiome different than the one in your house, let's say?
Typically, it'll have a lot more human microbes swimming around because you don't have as many people in your house. But also, they're designed, typically, if you work in an office building with many floors, the ventilation is determining how many microbes and which microbes you're around in. So it'll be a higher content of artificial microbes than it would be in your house, typically.
So you and I are actually sitting under a vent in this studio that's coming down from another floor. What is falling on us that we can't see?
Probably the microbes of whoever is in the office above you. Have you ever gone to check them out and see how healthy they look?
I guess we should do that.
But also just anything else that's been sitting in the ducts, for example, or any of the dust that's just been accumulating. Typically, if you come into your office on a Monday, the ventilation system's been off all weekend, and you're probably getting a lot more artificial dust that you're breathing in coming in through these vents.
So if someone is listening to this right now, they want to know, what is this doing to me?
The interesting part is that we know very little. This is the first year, really, that researchers are trying to determine what is happening and what these things might be doing to us. There's a million experiments going on right now, papers coming out probably next year that'll help us understand things like, if you touch your water cooler, how many microbes are actually crawling into your own microbiome and transferring? We don't know that yet. Things like, if your windows don't open in your office, are you more likely to get sick because you're not intermingling with some of the beneficial outdoor microbes as much? All things we don't know that are hugely affecting our health, especially in places like hospitals, which is...
So if they are affecting our health, but we're sort of still trying to understand that, are there things you can do now to avoid getting sick?
I think opening a window, if you can. Now, this is always a tricky thing because there's lots and lots of research that says children, for example, who grow up in farms where they're constantly contacting animals and they have contact with dirt have a much lower rate of immune disorders or things like asthma. And so researchers are tentatively saying more interaction with outside air is better. But then you have to wonder, is there a truck idling outside your window?
Right.
We don't know.
Like if you and I were to walk out of the studio and throw open a window onto Third Avenue, would that be good, bad? Do we know?
It's completely up in the air right now. My guess would be probably not the greatest. I mean, all the city buses and everything. But maybe better than just constantly breathing in the recirculating air, which is a very new phenomenon. Humans have only been living in these tight buildings for maybe the last two generations at most. So we really don't know what it means to live in a sealed environment.
When we think about a sealed environment and when we think about our microbiome, are there things that this research is informing in the way design works and people use building materials and all the stuff that could change for the next generation or a few generations from now?
Absolutely. I think we're going to see this come up a lot more in the next few years. There's actually a startup in San Francisco that's still in stealth mode, so they won't let me talk about them. But they're specifically figuring out how to design offices to circulate microbes in such a way that might help the health of the people who live or work in the office. People are really trying to figure out how to be intentional about design, how to design vents in a certain way, how to somehow bring in beneficial outdoor microbes, how to position houseplants so that their beneficial microbes are circulating more. That is one thing you can do for your health, have more plants.
Have more plants. Okay, good. We have seen big trends in office design rise and fall. People had offices with doors that closed. Then open plan offices came into vogue. Then certain kinds of lighting came into vogue. Do you think it's possible that thinking about the physical health of an office is the next thing that architects and designers are going to be working with?
I think absolutely. There's been a trend towards making our buildings more sealed off from the outside because it's more energy efficient. So as all these cities are trying to be more wary of climate change, use less energy, they're sealing offices off more, which hypothetically could be bad for our health. We don't quite have those conclusions yet. But now that we're starting to understand that, I think people will be trying to restructure offices so that they have more flow and can be better for one's health.
What are the top few things that scientists are studying to say, hey, like, this might not be a great idea?
So there's this new trend of putting antimicrobial agents into house paint and linoleum flooring and all kinds of things you'd use as building materials. And researchers are just starting to be like, hold on a minute. Why are we putting things that will generate potentially more antibiotic-resistant genes in our dust that we're all breathing in every day? So there's this big debate now, like building materials kind of very unregulated. No one's really looking out for it. And all these paints that put antimicrobials in them are now labeling themselves as better for your health, but we really have no idea whether or not that's true, and people are suggesting it might be the opposite.
This seems to sort of mirror the debate about whether you use antibacterial soap on your hands.
Exactly. The FDA banned triclosan this year, which is one of the big antimicrobial agents in soap, because they couldn't find any conclusions that said they actually improved one's health, and there's too many things that are suggesting it could disrupt our hormone cycles or do other slightly malicious things to our health. And now nobody's doing anything about it in walling, for example. There's no regulations on that.
So if I get to the end of a long week in the office, should I just go outside and roll around in the dirt?
I think that'd be a great idea. Or just stick your face in your puppy, if you have one, or your cat. They'll transfer lots of beneficial microbes your way, apparently.
Zoe Schlanger is a science contributor at Wired Magazine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lizzie.